starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
What are your first thoughts when you heard this legislation was passed in the Victorian Parliament, Harry?
It's a really significant moment. For generations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples have campaigned for treaty or for treaties that will recognise their rights and status and set up a foundation for a better future with all of Australia. This is the first time any government in Australia has ever listened to those aspirations and acted upon them. So it's incredibly significant. It's very hard, I think, to overstate the significance of the moment.
And there has already been a native title application from the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people for some parts of Melbourne and surrounds.
Following the Mabo decision in 1992, it was expected that native title wouldn't be available in the heavily colonised areas of the continent. That's generally been true. Native title is really more available in less settled areas, I would say. So it's significant again that a claim has been lodged in Melbourne or over the Melbourne region. My expectation is that that might be used more as a way to help treaty negotiations, I suppose, rather than an opportunity to obtain real and significant land claims in Melbourne. That was certainly the case in Western Australia and Perth, where the Noongar native title claim was really used as a vehicle, I suppose, to get a very comprehensive treaty-like agreement that recognised large areas of land and also set up the foundations for self-governance in a very limited way. But I think this claim, I think although the claim that's been lodged, will help inform those treaty negotiations that will continue in Victoria.
And of course, the first time that any Australian government has passed treaty laws in Parliament. How significant is this moment for Australians?
I think it's really significant. As I said at the start, this is the first time any government in Australia has agreed to sit down and talk treaty and followed through. There have been times previously where governments in Australia have said, yeah, we'll talk treaty, but something gets in the way and they decide, look, this isn't that important, we don't really care about it, it's too difficult, too hard, let's not worry about it. This is the first time any government has said, we'll do it, and they actually go ahead and do it as well. Now, the treaty itself is not as comprehensive or as significant in its terms as some of the treaties you see in Canada, I would say, but it's important to note that this is the first one, and the parties have agreed that this is a journey, and that future agreements, future treaties will be followed that build on the foundations that have been established as part of this first statewide treaty. So it isn't a treaty that recognises vast areas of land or recognises significant domains of self-governance, but I expect that as the negotiations continue, if they continue, we will start to see more comprehensive agreements that start to fill in the details, I suppose, within this broad outline that has been established by this first.
You just said then the negotiations will continue, or if they continue. That is a question perhaps maybe for next year, if the opposition government in Victoria is voted in, they don't support the treaty process. What will happen if the opposition does get in Victoria? What will happen to this treaty law and the negotiations?
So the opposition has said that if they win government next year, they will repeal this act and then they will stop the treaty process. And so if they go ahead with what they've said they'll do, the work that's been done over the last 10 years will be washed away. Now, I think that's really, that's very disappointing if that would happen for a number of reasons, not least because for a decade, the state government and First Peoples have worked together in partnership to create a really significant moment and really the value of treaties in those relationships, in ways of learning how to work together and to come to some sort of consensus and common ground to build a better future for everyone. And so treaty really is about those relationship building exercises. And so to then to strip away and say, we're not going to do that anymore, I think is quite disappointing if that happens. Now, of course, the parties in the agreement, so the State of Victoria, represented by the government and the First Peoples Assembly, have said that they expect future treaties will continue. And that certainly has been the case in Canada, where modern treaties have been negotiated still today. Treaty making is an iterative, ongoing process of relationship building. And as we've seen in Canada, both sides, the more left-wing governments or more left-wing parties and the more conservative parties, have agreed that treaty making is important because they understand it's all about relationships. Relationships between First Peoples and the state. It doesn't matter what party you're a member of, you want strong relationships. And so I hope that the Victorian opposition changes their view if and when they secure government again.
And do you think now, with this historic significant moment passed into Victorian law, we might see other states and territories also wanting to create a treaty for their own patch?
I think this helps. This should certainly push Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples across the country to advocate strongly against, within their own states and territories, to push those governments to say, "Well, we want a treaty. If Victoria can do it, why can't we do it?" I certainly think that, standing here in New South Wales today, that if Victoria can do it, why can't New South Wales do it? What's happened before the referendum in 2023? Every government across Australia, except Western Australia, had committed to a treaty process. The failure of the Voice referendum has seen those commitments fall away. Now, really, there's only two governments, New South Wales and South Australia, that are, New South Wales, sorry, and Victoria, that are kind of committed to treaty. Victoria has gone through. New South Wales in a very preliminary, very early stage of the process. But certainly, I think the benefit of the Victorian treaty for the rest of the country is that this is a guide. It says that you can do it. Treaties are possible. And this is a way you can do it. And so we can learn a lot of lessons from Victoria. I hope it does lead to governments around the country reconsidering their opposition to treaty. But at the same time, I don't think that anything will change immediately. And the other lesson from Victoria is it's taken 10 years to get to this stage, right? 10 years of patient negotiations, patient periods of working together to get to the stage to talk treaty. And so what happens next? I think that we're more likely to see the next treaty in Victoria before we see a treaty elsewhere around the country.
And New South Wales is in preliminary stages of a treaty. What's the current status of where the treaty process is at for New South Wales?
New South Wales is at a very preliminary stage. They have three Aboriginal commissioners who are working around the state, talking to the communities, asking them, do they want a treaty? And if so, what would they like to see as part of that treaty? The state government has said that a report will be prepared for them before the next election, but they will not make a decision on what the next step is until after the next election. So we are still at a very early stage in the process here in New South Wales. Whether it goes ahead is a live question. But if the consultations suggest that a treaty is desired and the government is open to that, then we can expect, if the Labor government secure election again at the next state election, that the process will continue and kind of kick into gear a little bit more.
In Sweden, we believe in just the right amount. Embracing balance, minimalism, and simplicity. Something that Volvo believe in too. And when it comes to choosing your next car, we believe in just the right amount of choice. Between petrol, plug-in hybrid, and fully electric. There's a Volvo for everyone. So visit your local Volvo retailer to learn which one is right for you. Volvo.